prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.'" Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the sound of rain, for the wind blowing in the mulberry trees, and for the open heavens, and for the rustle of angels' wings, for the blowing of the trumpets, for the calling of men and women from the nations of the world, for the harvest to begin. Lord, we come into agreement with your great plans. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. This scripture is about the harvest. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10? You can read in verse 1 to 3. Jesus sent out 70 disciples and told them to go into every town and village that he was about to come to. And he said to them, "The harvest is great. It's ready. But the laborers are few." We have a worker shortage. The harvest is always ready for the Lord. When he walks and steps on the scene and touches people's hearts, they become ripe for the harvest. For that time, they're not ripe for the harvest. So many people are casting their seed upon the ground because they might not be moving in the timing or in the place that the Lord has for them. There are seasons for everything, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us. There's a time to sow and a time to reap. There's a time to pray. There's a time to dream. There's a time to get ready and prepare. And there's a time to gather in the harvest. The greatest revivals in all history are still ahead of us. And I venture to say that some of you will see some of them. Maybe a lot of you. Get ready for this year for a mighty shaking to start. Get ready for it. I don't say that it will happen in the way you might like it to happen. In fact, revival always happens in a most unusual way. And sometimes it happens when God takes you down to the valley of death. This is a picture of dry bones coming to life. It's not just the valley of the shadow of death. This is the valley of death. The whole valley was a place of war. Ancient armies would stand upon the hillsides that were facing each other, and they would scream at each other and yell and taunt and threaten. But then when the battle started to take place, both armies would come down into the valley, and their death would reign, and their bodies would be left there in the valleys. Death is our final enemy. But there's different levels of death. You might have been facing it in this past year. There can be death in the spirit. There can be death, a spirit of death over a group of people or over a family. There's physical death and there's spiritual death. When witchcraft is emboldened and demons celebrate, the air becomes thick and Christians are hindered. The gospel is restrained. Men and women have to wrestle with depression and lack of faith and the lack of revelation. Many of them cast off restraint during times like that, and they give up. But that's exactly where the Lord will take you. Not to put you in that state, but that's where He goes to rescue. He goes to the darkest place. He goes to the place that's wounded the most. He goes to the house of death. And there He brings forth His light. The Lord shines brightest in the darkness. And there is no darkness that can hold back His power in His time. He says, even if you go to the farthest parts of the earth and into the depths of hell, lo, I will be there. And the day is coming when death will be on every side. But out of it, we're going to see a very powerful revival. Men and women of God are not fazed by judgment or great trouble. They walk through it for the purposes of the Lord because they see a brighter light and they have an intelligence that comes from heaven that tells them who wins the story. And they wait on the Lord as they go forward to release His power. I remember the time when I was just a young man of God. I was about 17 years of age. I hadn't met my wife, Joy, yet. That happened the year after, 18th year. But when I was 17, I was a youth pastor. And I had been a youth pastor since I was 14. And was preaching every week. And we saw many young people come to the Lord Jesus. And we had our church camp we were in Canada. The churches in Eastern Canada brought their children together for a great camp. At least 3/4 of the children were unsaved. Although they had come from Christian homes, they rejected the Lord. They didn't want the gospel of their parents. And a lot of them were rebellious, but their parents forced them to go to camp. I was one of the youth leaders there, but I was the youngest one. And so there was others who were preaching and doing the leading of this. And every night, this powerful evangelist would preach and then give an altar call. And the only children who would come to the front were about 6 of them who were already saved. And they got saved every night. But nobody else would come. And that happened Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night came. And everybody went back to their cabins and with their dormitories and with their camp counselors. And I stayed in the chapel by myself. And I went down to the front and I got on my knees and I started to cry out to God for these souls of these young people. Oh God, what is happening? Why are their hearts so hard? God, will you reach them and will you touch them and will you save them? And after about 2 hours of crying before the Lord, somebody else came in and joined me. I prayed. I think maybe 2 or 3 people came by the end of it all until about 2 o'clock in the morning when I lost my voice and I couldn't pray anymore. I had shed all my tears before the throne of heaven and I had cried out to God for the souls of these children. The next day, I went to bed the next day. I was a bit tired and the day of the camp went on. The evening meeting came and the evangelist got up and he preached a powerful message. The same 6 children came forward for salvation. The other 150 or 175 children wouldn't budge. We all went back to our rooms, and I fell asleep because I had lacked some sleep. And it was, I guess, around 10 o'clock at night. And I woke up, and there was such a noise in the camp. The whole camp was on fire with the Holy Spirit. And I walked out of my dorm, I got dressed and I walked out, and here were children running around the trees with their hands up in the air, weeping. Some of them were lying in the field on their backs, shaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They were all speaking in tongues. It was such a move of God. And I went and I asked what had happened. And they said, well, in one of our little dormitories, there were 8-year-old boys. About 15 kids were in there. And the counselor went next door to ask another counselor for something. And while he was gone, one of the boys started to taunt this little boy from Jamaica. And he said, in the middle of the night, the snakes are going to come into our camp. And this little Jamaican boy was already homesick, and now he was freaking out. And he was crying and screaming, and these other boys felt sorry for what they had said. 8-year-old boys. No adults there. And they just came around him, and they started to pray. And as soon as they started to pray for that boy, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. All these 8-year-old boys started speaking in tongues. The camp counselor came in. He didn't know what had happened. And then the next cabin came over, and then the next cabin, and everyone who entered that place got filled with the Holy Spirit. People were weeping and repenting of their sins. By the time I got there, the whole entire camp was saved. Hallelujah. I know of three young men who became pastors and are still pastors today from that camp. My own brothers, who were younger than me, all got saved at that camp. And I forgot that I had prayed the night before. I thought, this is great, God. You did a great thing. And I went back to my room, and it was wee hours of the morning, and I started to thank God. And the Lord said, don't you remember you prayed last night? I thought, ay. Yes, I did. That was a tiny mini revival. I remember in 1968 through to about 1979, there was a revival in North America that touched the world. It was called the Jesus People Movement. And I think it was a genuine revival because there were so many people who were right deep into drugs, into all kinds of junk, who just got saved. Whole hippie colonies came to Christ. And we saw so many people. Those were the years when I was a youth pastor. So many people come to the Lord. And it was all over the place. It wasn't in one place. Since then, there's been a refreshing for some up in Toronto that has really touched thousands of people and gave them a refreshing, worn out Christians. And then there was somewhat of a revival in Brownsville where thousands, tens of thousands of people gave their lives to the Lord. I was in some ways connected with both of these places. But a real revival that sweeps the nations, we are yet to see. It will come. And we look at this picture of the valley of dry bones. The Lord speaks to Ezekiel, then he takes him. And Ezekiel says, the Lord took me in the spirit to a valley. I wonder if you've been to the valley. This is the valley of death. And you know what the prayer says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Well, it's not just about you being protected. You got to get beyond yourself. See yourself as dead, and you'll be fearless. Too much is alive in your thinking. Trust God. Let him take you, because you're going to go there. You're going to go there. It's the lion's den where revival will break out. And the power of God will come. Don't go there unless the Lord takes you in the spirit and leads you there. But when you get to the valley, there's trauma there. There's judgment there. There's despair there. But there you will see the glory of the Lord. When revival comes, what will it look like? How will it begin? Where will it take place? This scripture in Ezekiel chapter 37 is really about Israel. If you read from verse 11 on to the end of the chapter, you'll find the Lord is singling out the Jewish people for revival. He tells them that I'm going to bring you back to your land, and I'm going to raise up your sons and daughters again, And they will have one king over them, my servant David, who is a figurative type of Jesus. And they will be in the land forever. And I will come and dwell among them and bring my sanctuary there. That's what it says in the rest of this chapter. But this is not just for the Jewish people. The promise of this great revival. Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 11. And there we read in verse 24. After all, you Gentiles, non-Jewish people, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Say, own olive tree. This is their olive tree. It's their own olive tree. And many of the branches were cut off. And many nations and people groups and Gentile people have been grafted in to this Jewish olive tree. And he says, if you, who are a wild bunch, can come out of the pagan religions of the earth and, contrary to nature, be grafted in to the family of God, into this Jewish tree that has the root and the main trunk, how much more easy would it be for the Jewish people themselves to be grafted back into their own tree? So there's a picture here, not just of revival coming to Israel, but the revival coming to the nations of the world. It's coming to the United States of America. Revival and the harvest is coming here. But you've got to learn to get beyond the look of the dry bones. Because they're very dry. And it's in the valley of death. If you look at what the world presents to you and the situation at hand, you will lose hope and you will not be able to go forth to accomplish the call of God on your life. You've got to be blind to the circumstance and the situation that's around you and say, but God, His day will come. You've got to see His glory in the valley of death before the glory comes. And there Ezekiel, the wacky prophet, goes down to the valley of dry bones. And the place is full of dry bones. Brother Reggie, there's not a single Christian in these 600 villages until God starts to work and do a great thing. And He brought him down to the valley of dry bones and says, and behold, they were very, very dry. And the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? I don't know if he went up and grabbed a bone, snapped it like a twig, powder poured out of it. It's very dry. You know, I raised a man from the dead once. Here in this city, in the Presbyterian Church. He was in my arms. He died during our service. It wasn't good for public relations. I laid my hands on him and spoke life, claimed it in the name of Jesus. A nurse was there. She had already taken his vital signs. Her name was Kathy Ross, not the same Kathy Ross that's here. And when I spoke the word, immediately, in the same grasp, he came back to life again. Never went to the hospital. So a week later, he went and got a checkup. The doctor said, what happened? You don't have a problem with your heart anymore. He said, yes, and my back's been healed too. But I always thought, if somebody dies and you want to raise them from the dead, get to them real quick before the mortician gets to them. Because if he goes to the funeral home and they drain all the fluids out of him and put some formaldehyde there, how can you then go in, you know, at the funeral service after he's all plasticized and lay your hands on him? And it takes kind of extra faith. wants the funeral directors be meddling with him. You know what I mean? But the day will come when those who have been decomposed and degenerated to basic atoms and molecules will hear the word of the Lord and come back together again and be raised to life eternal. So don't think just because the funeral director's been messing around that it's too late. Don't do it unless God tells you to do it. But if he tells you to do it, pray for them. I know the story of Smith Wigglesworth when his wife died and he went in the room, lifted her up and spoke life into her, and she fell down. He picked her up, put her against the wall and said, come back to life. She fell down. He did it three times and she came back to life. She slapped him and said, why'd you bring me back here? I was with Jesus. It begins in the valley of death. I'm not discouraged by what I see happening in the United States of America, although I would be if I didn't know the Lord. I'd be panicking. But because I know the Lord, I know he has the last word. So I'm already there. I'm already in revival. I'm already in the harvest. I'm already at that place. I'm just waiting for the clock to strike the hour and for the dead to rise and the people to come back. Now, there's two kinds of fruit for the harvest. There's a harvest of souls and there's a harvest of God's glory. Now, get it in your spirit, because there's many people who are saved, but they don't have the glory of the Lord on them at all. They're gloryless. But there will be these two kinds of harvest that go together. Revival in the church and among God's people. Some who are just dry, dry, dry bones. Dry Christians. Bony Christians. Worn out Christians. Unbelieving Christians. Christians with no vision and no faith and no revelation. And the only reason they're still Christians is because they don't want to go to hell. And they don't know anything else that the earth has to offer. But they're mechanical. They don't have a move of the Holy Spirit. It's not real to them. There are millions and millions of Christians like that around the world. Can these bones live? God's frozen chosen. Can these bones live? So the Lord takes him to the valley of death. Of course, nothing can live here. But the prophet says, when asked, can these bones live? He says, you know, Lord. Now, don't you dare say that to the Lord. Just say yes. Because you know something that Ezekiel did not know. You've read the book. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, not just coming upon you, but living within you. Amen. You walk in partnership with the Lord. Amen. And say, Lord, can these bones live? Yes, they can. Yeah. Yes, they can. Can the United States be on fire for Jesus? Yes, absolutely it can. Can the nations of the world come to him in a flash? Can a nation be born in a day? Oh, yes, it can. So he went to the valley of dry bones, and Ezekiel said, Lord, you know whether these bones can live. The Lord said, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Now, that's what you have to do. Now, you might not go up to somebody at the bus stop, put your hands on them, and start shukandarabasandala kasindi. I might kick you or punch you or whatever. You were a weird Christian. But you start prophesying. You start praying. People are walking across the street. Say, Lord, I speak the blessing of God over that man, over that woman. Every day I get people bringing dreams to me. And some of them come from across the nation. Just this week, two separate people from Texas sent me their dreams for interpretation. And this one lady had a dream about a little child, a little black girl, who was really poor in old clothes. And she started serving and helping other people. And it was so amazing that she thought, what a special little girl. And then she woke up. There was more to the dream, but that was the gist of it. She said, what does it mean? And I said to this lady in my email, I said, God has shown you somebody that you have to partner with heaven for. She said, well, this happened when somewhere in the 50s. I said, I know, she's in her 60s now. And she's a sweet woman of God, but she needs encouragement. She needs someone to partner with her. You may meet her, but you may not. But you'll see her in heaven. Now begin to pray for that lady in your dream. For the purposes of God to be released. And for her to accomplish the call of God on her life. For she's an extraordinary grandma. So, the lady on the other end of the dream, she emailed me back. She said, I had no idea. I will not let this fall to the ground. I will pray for her until all is accomplished. Prophesy to these bones. Say, Lord, where am I supposed to prophesy today? Don't just ask like you're a human being walking on the earth or something. Don't just ask. Change your location. Get into the heavenly places. Look down upon the situation and start to speak the word of the Lord and to prophesy over the lives of people. I don't mean to be obnoxious. It's between you and the Lord, but speak it. Say, Lord, I prophesy over that man driving that car right now that the power of God will come upon him, that he will know you and his whole family will be saved. Let it happen. I speak it over you. Yes. Speak it. Prophesy over these bones and say to the bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Can dry bones hear? Can they hear the word of the Lord? You know, there's a lot of dry bones around and some refuse to hear. Some of the dry bones, they say, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I prophesy over you. You will hear the word of the Lord. And others will say, whew, why did it take you so long to come? I've been waiting all my life to hear the word of the Lord. I don't mean just a preacher. I don't mean just somebody reading the Bible verse to me. I mean to hear the word of the Lord. Because once you hear the word of the Lord, life comes. Dry bones come to life. He said, prophesy over the dry bones that they will have tendons and flesh and skin upon them. So I prophesied over them. And immediately there was a great noise and a great rattling sound. In other words, it's a mess. When revival starts, it will be, look like, from the outside, confusion. Who's in charge of this? What's happening? What are we going to do with these people? What's going to take place? That guy got saved, but he's sure not sanctified. Watch out for him. There will be such a noise. Put a smile on your face. And don't be a cranky old man who's judging. Everyone can be a policeman. Don't be a cranky old lady who's prophesying doom and gloom and judgment over those who just got saved. I've seen drug addicts, drug dealers, prostitutes, many evil people, even from mafia groups, who come to the Lord. I remember the church in Basingstoke, England, where I preached, they had over 1,000 people in the congregation. The elders told me what happened. Down the road was a strip club. And the man in charge of the strip club sent his little girl to Sunday school. And then she said, Daddy, why don't you come with me to church? So he came. Everybody in the church knew who he was. Wasn't that big a town. he came in and sat in the congregation. Started singing and listening. After the meeting, he went back to the strip club. Business as usual. And people started to come to the pastor. Shouldn't we talk to him? Shouldn't we kind of tell him that this is not good and he needs to change his ways? The pastor said, no. Let's pray for him. There's a rattling and there's a noise. You might say, that's not genuine. What's he doing here? After about a month, they had times in this church where people got up and gave little testimonies. He stands up. He got saved. He's still running the strip club. He said, I guess all of you people know who I am. I run the establishment down the road. And he said, the Lord's spoken to me to straighten my ways, so I'm not going to water down the drinks anymore. It was a couple of weeks after that where he wanted to visit the pastor. They didn't try to clean him up. They just prayed for him. He was getting it by osmosis from the Holy Spirit. He came into the pastor's office. He sat down. He said, Pastor, it's been the best month of my life. And I look at my little girl. I want her to be like the women in this church. And he said, I have this feeling, but I need your confirmation. I feel I'm supposed to close the strip club. What do you think? I know those pastors personally. It's not something I read in the book. That week he closed down the strip club. Became one of the pillars of the church. This is going to happen all over the place. What kind of people are you going to be like? Can you be like a nursing mother? Can you be a midwife? When there's noise and rattling and trouble and such commotion and such confusion, we can't organize it. We can't put it all together. We can't control people. We can't force people into some discipleship program. They come into the ways of the Lord as the Holy Spirit moves on them and draws them forth. And there's times for teaching, times for mentoring, time for helping them along the way. But let it be love and encouragement. 10 times, 100 times more than your word of correction. God will do it. That's what revival is going to look like. Don't try to control it. Trust God. Trust God. He's the great shepherd. He's the God of every man and every woman. They'll come to him through Jesus. So can these bones live? Yes, prophesy over to them. Hear, O bones. And then speak to the bones and let the flesh come upon them and the sinews and the skin. And then he says, now prophesy for the breath of life to come. You know what the breath of life refers to, don't you? It's the Holy Spirit. Need a move of the Holy Spirit. I wish that every church that doesn't know the manifest power of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders would find the wind of the Holy Spirit moving among them. I don't care about the doctrine, and I don't care about whether they've said those things are past. I say, Holy Spirit, come and move among them and give them an encounter that doesn't come from a Pentecostal or some other person. Let it be real for them. Let it be a divine moment of your release and power. Let it come to the Catholics. Let it come to the Presbyterians. Let it come to all the people. It will. Get ready for this. Some are going to say, I've been waiting this for all of my life. What took you so long to come? So I prophesied. And it all happened. And suddenly, there rose before Ezekiel a vast army. Vast army. And the Lord said, this is the whole house of Israel. Now, we can't believe in replacement theology. The church is not Israel. It's not the new Israel. It's not Israel at all. But it is part of the one new man. You can read in Ephesians chapter 2. Once you were strangers and foreigners from the people of God. But now you've become citizens. In that day, there were many people who became citizens of Rome. But they were not Romans. Even Paul the Apostle, he was never a Roman. He was from Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen. Many people will become citizens of Israel, but not be Israelis. But they become part of the great family of God. To partner, two becoming one. The wall of division torn away. And one new man church at the end of the age. Jews who believe in Jesus and Christians who believe in the Jews coming together for the purposes of God and revival like you've never seen. Bob Jones prophesied there will be 1 billion souls get saved. I've spoken of that and it's in my book, Unexpected Fire, back there. When Bob Jones and I would meet, he would say, "You found things in the scripture that I've been prophesying about." He says, but we're both saying the same thing. Suddenly, a whole army is before him. Because the harvest is ready. So I want you to lift your eyes. To look beyond your situation. It'll happen when you least expect it. You wait, cry, look to God, pray, seek His face, and it's not coming. And then suddenly, God will do it. It'll be popping up like gushing water and volcanic streams all over the earth. It's coming real soon. Get ready for a work of the Holy Spirit. Walk with God. Let Him take you to the valley. Pray. Let's pray. Would you stand? Hold your hands out, please. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life, the strength of God to come to you, the revelation of the Holy Spirit to be yours. Lord, I ask that it would not be the words that I've spoken today that would change anybody here, but it would be your divine touch upon them, that which you have spoken to them today. I ask, Holy Spirit, for such a move of God in our lives that we might go forward with power and authority and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We say yes, Lord, to all that you would do among us. Now as we go to this building, Lord, we ask that you would allow faith to be in our hearts. Speak to us. Let the things come together where there are so many holes and so much lack. Lord, let it come. We receive your provision. We receive your blessing. We receive the word of the Lord and we go forward. We speak it in Jesus' name. Amen.